This week we are continuing our study called Embracing the Infinite. So far, we have looked at the introduction, God is, and looked at his existence. We have looked at the fact that God is King, God is Judge, and God is Father. We have looked to Scripture to see these truths, and we have seen how they can apply to us today, and how they aren't just ambiguous truths that are out there about God. That what we know about God should give us strength for today. This week, we are going to look at the next category, and that is God knows. This is often put under the fancy theological term of omniscience. That's the last time I'll use that word. You're welcome. From here on out, it is all-knowing. Much easier. So today, we are going to look at the fact that God knows everything. But if you think about knowledge for any length of time, you realize that knowledge isn't necessarily all that helpful by itself. There's a fancy little triangle here that we all know inherently, whether or not we diagram it like that in our head. We know that's how it works in real life. Knowledge is accumulation or familiarization with facts. It's knowing things, whatever it is. But if you stop at knowledge, you literally just have knowledge, and that's it. It didn't help you at all. Unless you just like no facts. Like, I personally read books of useless facts because I just like facts sometimes. And that's cool. But as far as helping you in your day-to-day life, those useless facts aren't going to help you do anything. You need to go up to the next step, to understanding. Understanding is the correct organization and ordering of associated facts. So it's taking those facts, grouping them, and realizing what they mean, their significance. And then you must take it a step further and actually use that organization that you just did. Wisdom is the practical application of correct knowledge and understanding. And that's the key word, correct knowledge and understanding. Because you can have knowledge and understanding, but if they're based on wrong facts, then you still don't have wisdom. You have application that's not very wise. We've all seen that. So how many people do you know that don't quite make it to the top of the triangle? How many times do you not quite make it to the top of the triangle? Whether you stop at knowledge or understanding, whether you, however far you get, a lot of times we struggle to take the knowledge and the understanding that we have and actually apply it with wisdom. One of the first things that came to my mind when I saw this triangle is a military illustration, so pardon me. If you've seen any military movies, you probably will understand where I'm coming from with this. One thing that you understand really fast in the military about land navigation is that you never let a lieutenant lead. They just have a notorious reputation for not doing land nav well. Land navigation is basically just being able to get from point A to point B by following a map and a compass and whatever means you're allowed to have for set exercise. Or if you're out in actual deployment, then it's whatever you have available to you, you're able to accurately arrive at your mission location. And I heard a lot of jokes about it and I saw it in movies and stuff. Like, if you've seen Band of Brothers, you know, there's a whole, I think one or two of the parts of it kind of revolve around the fact that this lieutenant is just terrible at land nav. But I was like, it's just in the movies. And then I went to boot camp, and while we were out in the field doing our own exercises, there was a bunch of these lieutenants in training, and it was just hilarious watching them doing their land nav. Like, these are people who have four-year degrees, who have went through all sorts of military training, and they're just out there, like, They look like wandering wizards with their robes and staff. Like, why do you even have a walking stick? You're not here. You're not out here that long. It's just we're all just laughing at them, and we're like privates who like some of the kids aren't even done with high school, and they're doing land nav better than them. So, anyways, that's one of the first things I thought of. And then the next thing I thought of was my own life. And with her blessing, I'm also tying in Regan into this one. We both like to read a lot, so we like to think we have a lot of knowledge. As many of you know, specifically the Petersons, because you guys have seen this a lot, sometimes we struggle to make it to the top of the triangle. We do things like use fabric softener rather than laundry detergent for 2 months. The clothes smelled and felt great, though. I do things like not realizing that you don't need to unscrew the top of a toilet paper roll, or not toilet paper, a paper towel roll before you change it, because I grew up with one you had to, and I just assumed all of them work that way. And I did it for like a year and a half before Regan finally was kind enough to show me that you don't need to do that. I tried to cook pizza in a toaster oven and went back 30 minutes later to realize that I had never plugged it in. We both tend to do things in the most complicated way at times because we just overanalyze everything. When these things happen, I'm always reminded of one of my friends that I went to high school with. I would do something just really bizarre and unwise at times, and he would just look at me with this look on his face, and it's like, okay, you are one of the most book smart people I've ever met, but sometimes you just have no street smarts at all. You just leave it there. Thanks. Thanks, John. So I've done that. I'm sure we've all been there at times. Knowledge, it's only helpful when you actually bring it all the way up to wisdom. Today we are going to see that God possesses complete knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. He never possesses one without the other. He never lacks knowledge. He never doesn't understand that knowledge. He never fails to put his knowledge and understanding to perfect wisdom. In a world of increasing developments where man is trying to outsmart God, where artificial intelligence, or AI, is being developed at a frightening pace, where the world feels under constant nuclear, cyber, and biological threat, we can rest secure in the fact that God is not surprised by any of these developments. He never needs to change his plans because man or AI pulled a fast one on him. Our God is infinitely able to know and understand all things and wisely bring about his desired plans. So, in order to prove what I just said, I want us to turn to Scripture, and we're going to first look at the fact that God has all knowledge. We see this all throughout Scripture. You don't need to turn to these references. I'm going to just fly by most of these, just to the very short. So, we see in Scripture, Job 21:22, can anyone teach knowledge to God since he judges even the highest? In Psalm 147, you see that he knows the number and names of every single star. We don't even know how many stars there are. He knows every single one and has a name for them and remembers all their names. If you know any family, or if you are a family that has multiple kids, you know how hard it is to remember your own kids' names, let alone remember all the names of every single star in the entire universe. In Isaiah 46, it says that he declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose." Later in chapter 55, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than yours." Deuteronomy 29, it says that the secret things belong to the Lord. In Daniel 2, it says, "He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in darkness, and the light dwells within him." And Romans 11, 33-36 is Paul's exclamation, and really these verses just convey where he goes when he tries to dwell on the knowledge of God. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. You see him in these verses using adjectives and just piling up words saying, yeah, he's got it all, and I can't even understand it. We see in Scripture he knows all things past, present, and future, and all things possible past, present, and future. A nice little summary of his knowledge was given by A.W. Tozer in one of the chapters for this week. It says, God knows instantly and effortlessly all matter, all matters, all mind, every mind, all spirit, all being, every being, all creaturehood, all creatures, every plurality, all pluralities, all law, every law, all relations, all causes, thoughts, mysteries, enigmas, feelings, desires, unuttered secrets, thrones, dominions, personalities, all things visible and invisible in heaven and on earth, motion, space, time, life, death, good, evil, heaven, and hell. Pretty much everything. You name it, God knows it. You name a possibility, God already knows that possibility. You name something in the past, God knows it. You name the future, God knows it. There's nowhere you can hide because God sees and knows all. There's no shadow that hides knowledge from him. There's no place that he can't get to and know exactly what's going on there. We see also in Scripture that he knows every individual person perfect and completely. In Psalm 139, 1 through 6, we see that he knows all of our thoughts, ways, and words even before they happen. We see also in Psalm 139 that he knows the number of our days before we're even born. In Matthew 10, we see that he knows the number of hairs on each person's head. In Psalm 33, we see that from heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. Hebrews 4, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. There is nothing you can say, do, think, or need that God does not already know. There is nowhere you can go that God does not know where you are. And there is nothing you can hide from God. He knows you better than you even know yourself. God has infinite and perfect knowledge. So we've proven that he has the bottom of that triangle. We're going to keep working our way up. Next, we see that God has all understanding. He perfectly understands all of the knowledge that he has. He doesn't have an algebra moment where all of a sudden the numbers start turning to Greek letters and other letters and different symbols start getting introduced and he just sits there looking at the page. He doesn't have a legalese moment where he's looking at paper and none of the words actually mean anything to him. Every single bit of information that he has, he understands perfectly. We see in Psalm 147, great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. In Isaiah 40, who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? The implied answer to all that is nobody. Nobody had to show God these things. God already knows. In Job 13, with him are wisdom and might. To him belong counsel and understanding. Isaiah 40, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. It's interesting that that bases it on his creation. Bases it on who he is and that he is the creator of everything. He, as the creator, knows and understands everything perfectly. In Job 36, behold, God is mighty but does not despise any. He is mighty in strength of understanding. There is nothing too complicated or complex for him. Nothing takes him by surprise. Nothing is beyond his grasp or comprehension. He has an understanding that any student going through school would pay anything for. To be able to look at textbooks, look at knowledge, and understand it perfectly. He has perfect knowledge, he has perfect understanding, and we also see in Scripture that he has all wisdom. He knows how to take that knowledge and that understanding and perfectly, every time, apply it throughout all of history and into the future. We see in Romans 11, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. In Job 12, with him are wisdom and might, to him belong counsel and understanding. Daniel 2, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. In 1 Corinthians 1:19, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For ever since the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it has pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. It says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning. I will thwart. Take your smartest person on earth, and I am infinitely more wise than them. We see that he is the source of wisdom. In James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. In Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Job 28, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. He is not only the source of wisdom. We see in Scripture he is actually the source of all three of these things, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. In Proverbs 2, it says, the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. In Proverbs 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Ecclesiastes 2:26, for to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge. We see clearly in Scripture that God never has to guess what to do. He never looks at the knowledge and the understanding that he has and says, well, I think this will be the wisest way to do this. Or, I'll just flip a coin and that one may be the best. We see that he always and perfectly knows how to apply the knowledge and understanding that he has. He never makes a mistake. He never looks back at what he says and says, well, that wasn't the brightest moment ever. He never gets into a situation where he doesn't know what to do. He never makes a judgment that isn't completely and totally correct and just. He is perfectly knowledgeable, understanding, and wise. So we see that clearly in Scripture. But I didn't tell you anything you didn't already know, did I? So the real question is, so what? I flew through all that on purpose, because I think most of us agree about all that. So the real question for us today is, what do we do with the fact that God has all knowledge and all understanding and all wisdom? What does that mean for us today? So we see clearly in Scripture that God knows. First, as we dwell on it, it is a warning. To the unsaved, you cannot trick or outsmart God in any way. There is nothing you can hide from him, no pretext you can use or excuses you can give. The perfect, holy, and just judge has perfect knowledge, understanding, and wisdom concerning your every thought, word, and act. The judge of all the universe that we've already established in this series, the judge of all who is holy and perfect, also knows all. You don't go before a judge that you can pull a fast one on and hope that he doesn't find out about this thing that you're hiding over here, this skeleton in the closet. He knows you completely and perfectly. Knows your most secret thoughts. Knows that thing that you're trying to hide from everybody else. Your eternal fate rests in the hands of the one who knows everything about you, including your darkest secrets, and who cannot suffer any sin or impurity to dwell in his presence. There is no sin or impurity you can hide from him, and he cannot have any sin or impurity in his presence. That's a problem. The warning to the saved. Sounds very similar. You cannot trick or outsmart God. There is nothing you can hide from him, no pretext you can use, no excuses you can give. The perfect, holy, and just judge has perfect knowledge, understanding, and wisdom concerning your every thought, word, and action. Your eternal fate was sealed when you placed your trust in him, but this does not stop him from allowing discipline to happen to you here on earth. No one else may know of your sin, but he knows, and he has promised to hide his face from those who hold on to sin. So do you feel a wall of separation between you and God? If so, maybe it is time you examine your heart and expose any sin that you might be holding on to. Maybe it's time for you to say with the psalmist, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." It's so easy for us to hold on to our sin, to think it's not a big deal, to think that this sin that we're hiding from everybody, it doesn't affect anybody. But what we forget is that it affects the most important relationship that we have. The sin that we think we're hiding is done completely before God's face and in his knowledge. And it hurts him. It pains him when his children sin against him. And he has promised that he turns his face from those who hold on to their sin rather than to him. And he puts a wall of separation between them. Do you feel that wall? If so, are you willing to examine your own self? So it is a warning, but thankfully, it's also a comfort. To the unsaved, the same God who knows everything about you, all your flaws, all your sins, all your secrets, is the same God who sent his Son to die for you. The same God who knows he has every reason to find you guilty is the same God who offers a pardon to you if you place your faith in the work of his Son. This all-knowing, all-wise God perfectly orchestrated the events of history to make salvation possible for you. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while God knew our sin, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners. Christ knows everything about you, but there is nothing that you have done, no sin that you have committed, that he is not willing to forgive if you but repent and turn to him. The all-knowing judge and king of the universe stands willing to forgive you and become your father if you but humble yourself and ask. So if you haven't, will you today? To the saved. I want to read another, this is a little bit more extended quote from Tozer. I really liked what he said in his comfort to the saved, dwelling on God's all-knowing nature. He says, "And to us who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us in the gospel, how unutterably sweet is the knowledge that our Heavenly Father knows us completely. No talebearer can inform on us. No enemy can make an accusation stick. No forgotten skeleton can come tumbling out of some hidden closet to abash us and expose our past. No unsuspected weakness in our character can come to light and turn God away from us. Since he knew us utterly before we knew him and called us to himself in the full knowledge of everything that was against us, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenants of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. Our Father in heaven knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. He knew our inborn treachery, and for his own sake engaged to save us. His only begotten Son, when he walked among us, felt our pains in their naked intensity of anguish. His knowledge of our afflictions and adversities is more than theoretic. He is personal, warm, and compassionate. Whatever may befall us, God knows and cares as no one else can. God knows everything about you. And the crazy thing is, he still loves you. When you sin, your sin creates, but it does not maintain, the wall of separation between you and God. Satan may tell you that God doesn't want to talk to you, or your own mind may tell you you aren't worthy to talk to God, but your sin isn't what's maintaining that wall. What's maintaining that wall is you listening to Satan in your mind and not repenting, because the same God who knows you, who knows your sin, who puts up that wall, is the same God who stands on the other side of that wall, always ready to tear it down, if you but repent and turn back to him. He is your all-knowing, good Father, who wants to have fellowship with you if you will only humble yourself and repent. So will you today? Maybe it isn't sin that you're struggling with today. Maybe it is circumstances. Maybe today you say, how can the all-knowing, all-understanding, all-wise God and good Father allow me to go through this? Or how can he allow what is happening in the world? This answer we will develop more clearly as we continue in this series, but an encouragement from this truth today is that he knows perfectly and completely what you are going through. He understands your pain because Christ came to earth and suffered the fullest extent of suffering and anguish that this world has to offer. And in his infinite wisdom, he will never allow you to go through something that he will not give you the strength to endure. He has not promised to stop the storms of life, but he has promised to always be your shelter in those storms. And he has always, he has promised to always bring you safely home to the other side for eternity when all is said and done. So he is all-knowing, he is all-understanding and all-wise. And if you aren't saved, if you haven't put your belief in him, or if you are a saved believer holding on to sin, that's a cause for fear for you. He knows you completely better than you know yourself. He knows anything you're trying to hide from him. But it's also a comfort in the fact that though he knows everything about you, he still loves you so much that he seeks a relationship with you, fellowship and communion with you, despite all of the times you've rejected him. Your sin may create that wall, but he is always there, ready to break it down. And if you look at the circumstances and the confusion all around you, you can rest in the knowledge of the fact that he is the all-knowing, all-understanding, all-wise God who isn't surprised by anything, no matter how much you might be. He knew that that circumstance, that change was coming. He understands the pain, the confusion you're going through. And he is wise enough to use any circumstance of life for his glory and for your good, whether or not you feel it at this time, if you but trust him. We see in Scripture that we won't always understand him because his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours, but we see also clearly in Scripture that because of who he is, we can trust him no matter what's going on, no matter how much we don't understand, because he understands and he is wise enough to use anything for his glory. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the fact that you know everything, that you know us completely, that you understand everything and understand us completely. and that you have all wisdom and are able to perfectly apply all the knowledge and understanding that you have, and that you are able to bring about all things to your desired end through your infinite wisdom. I pray that this week we would rest in the knowledge of these truths about you. That when we go through life, we rest securely in the fact that nothing takes you by surprise, and that there is nothing that comes our way that has not passed through your loving hands, through the hands of our good Father, who is infinitely wiser than we are. And I pray that if there is sin in our life, that we would humble ourselves before the one who knows everything, and that we would take comfort in the fact that the same God who knows our sin already knew that we were a sinner, and despite that, continuously chooses to love us. And I pray that we would run to you and humble ourselves before you, and that we wouldn't try to keep secrets from you because we can't. It's useless. That we would regularly confess and repent our sin, and that we wouldn't maintain the wall of separation between ourselves and you. I pray all this in your precious name. Amen.